Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue in prayer. Gracious God, we do praise you. Almighty God, we do praise you. Ruler of the kings of the earth. We bow before you and pray that you would give us ears to hear the word you have for us this morning. Amen. A member of our congregation named Kirk Livingston has published a book recently called Listen Talk: Is Conversation an Act of God? And in it, he speaks of this, of how important our conversations are with one another, our listening, and as well as our speaking, and of how God can speak to us in the midst of all that, if we're attentive. Of how God is speaking to us through the generations, and invites us into this conversation with God and with one another. And at the end of each chapter, he poses some questions to encourage dialogue. And one of the questions that caught my attention earlier this week was, if you had a can of spray paint and an urban wall and were feeling a bit of feistiness, what would you write? And I thought about that for a few moments, and in the midst of everything going on in our world right now, what came to mind was that I would write, grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace. This is what we find at the beginning of most of the letters in the New Testament. Almost all of them, the Apostle Paul, Peter, they start them out with grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And having offered that blessing, that invitation, they then move on to talk about how we can live, what we can learn, how we can grow, how we can serve. Grace to you and peace. What an important word for us in the midst of the world we're living in right now. Maybe you've noticed some of the headlines recently. It seems that our society, our nation, our world is getting more and more anxious, nervous, scared that the terrorist attacks, the wars taking place, the refugees flooding across Europe and other parts of the world, the persecution that's taking place. And of course, that doesn't even begin to talk about the anxiety that many of us feel in our own lives. I'm a dad, and I get concerned about my children at times and about whether I can offer the kind of wisdom and parenting that's needed in this challenging world. Members of our congregation, friends of ours, maybe some of you sitting here facing cancer, illness, debilitation of your body, relationships that are stretched and strained, and our anxiety increases. Grace to you and peace. This is how so many of the letters begin and how the book of Revelation begins. A book that was written actually for people in a time of tremendous anxiety. Christians undergoing persecution, or at least the shadow of persecution increasing around them. And so as we hear the book of Revelation and even just these first few verses today, I would invite you to consider the gift that God offers us in the midst of the challenges and the anxieties of life. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see Him, even those that pierced Him. And on His account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Imagine what these words would have meant for those who were facing persecution in the first century, the end of the first century after Jesus. St. Clement is one of them. He was one of the bishops of Rome. Tomorrow is his feast day in the Roman Catholic Church. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, it'll be Tuesday or Wednesday, the 24th or 25th of November. He was ordained by the Apostle Paul, or Apostle Peter, can you imagine? And we're not sure if he's the first pope after Peter or one of the first after Peter. Of course, being a pope in that day was a little different than it is in today's world. There was no big cathedral, large church or even a nation surrounding him. Clement spent a good bit of his time as Bishop of Rome as a prisoner in Roman jails. And he there gathered prisoners together to teach them about Jesus. We are told by tradition that he died by having an anchor tied to him and being thrown into the sea. You talk about living in a time of anxiety, of pressure, of the potential for bad things to happen. The people to whom the book of Revelation was first written were exactly those kinds of people. So if you're feeling a little anxious these days in your life or about what's happening in our nation and our world, this is a word for you. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. You know, this grace, this favor of God, the blessing of God is offered from the One who is always present, past, present, and future. This is hearkening back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where you remember Moses asks God, well, who should I say sent me when I'm going back to Egypt to speak to my people? And God says, well, tell them I am. I am. I am right now. I am in the past and I am in the future. I am always God, always alive, always here, pouring out my grace for you. And so as you look to the past, if you look back and think, well, those were the good old days, well, it's true. God was there in the past with you. But if you look back and you think those were horrible days, those were difficult days, that was a terrible time, you can know that God was there with you even then. And He's still there working that for good in His providence. If you look to the future and you see the shadow of the future overwhelming you, you're anxious about what might happen tomorrow, about where the course of history is leading us, you can know that God is there. He'll come to you in the future. He'll walk with you through whatever comes. And most of all, he's right with you now in the midst of the present. He is with you. This is the God who offers you grace. This is the God who invites you to rest in his peace. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, anybody know what that is? The seven spirits who are before? It's interesting, scholars wrestle with this. The seven spirits who are before his throne could be the, you know, seven is that perfect number and speaks to the Holy Spirit, who is the perfect Spirit of God. It could be that these are seven angelic beings, high and holy, who are powerful and go before God to accomplish his purpose. We're not exactly sure, because we don't see those seven spirits spoken of very often in the scriptures. And to be honest, as I've reflected on this in the past week or two, I've kind of liked the fact that we don't know, that there's some mystery here about it. If you think that you've got to wait until you've got all the scriptures figured out, you've got God all figured out before you can receive the grace he offers you, you're going to be waiting a long time. So you don't have to know precisely what this means, but here's what you can know, is that the God who loves you, the God who is all-powerful, the God, whether these are the seven spirits that speak of the one Holy Spirit or seven angelic beings that God that serve God's purposes, you can know that this is good for you, that this is a word of grace for you. This grace and this peace that comes from God comes from a God who is good. But then he goes to the third part, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from, and here is the big word out of the whole of the New Testament. These are the words that will take up the rest of this passage. And from Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ. God's revelation of his goodness, of his love for you. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Imagine what this would have meant for somebody facing martyrdom, persecution. Jesus, the faithful witness, who was faithful to God, a witness to the Father, even to death itself. And you see what happened to Jesus? Can you be faithful in following him? The firstborn of the dead, if your witness to God, your faithfulness to God brings you even to death itself, you can trust him because Jesus led the way through death itself to new life. So there's nothing that you need to fear in that future ahead of you that God cannot lead you through, cannot bring you through. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. And Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Imagine for Clement in that first century with Caesar seeming to be all-powerful. And you're worried about him? Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And who is it that you might be afraid of? What power on this earth? Is it some nation and the power of that nation? Is it some terrorist and the power that that terrorist has to bring into your life, into your world? Is it ISIS? Is it cancer? What might it be that you find yourself fearful of? Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth, of all the powers of the earth. This is the one who offers you grace, the favor of God, and who invites you in his grace to rest in his peace. Even in the midst of the terrors of our world. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. He shows us how much he loves us by dying for us, giving his life for us, bleeding for us. He didn't just love us in the past. He won't just love us in the future. He loves us, present tense. And he proves it through his blood. And he frees us by his blood from our self-centeredness, from our sin, from our need to make sure that we're secure, that we've got everything we want, we need. We can trust him here because he loves us. He's freed us from our sin. For the job that we've been called to do, the life we've been called to live. He's made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Do we realize that in the midst of the kingdoms of this world, that we serve a greater kingdom? We prayed a little while ago the Lord's Prayer. We said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." But what we need to realize is that God's kingdom is already here in many ways. Jesus says, don't listen when they say, there's God's kingdom, here's God's kingdom, because God's kingdom is right here among you. In fact, we're told here that we are his kingdom. When we live according to his lordship in our lives in this world, God's kingdom becomes real and apparent to the world in which we live in. We're not called to simply receive God's grace, to rest in his peace so that we can be happy. But we're called to receive his grace, to rest in his peace so that we can serve his purposes here in this world. When the anxieties of our world increase, we're called to rest in his peace and to serve his purposes even when the going gets tough. Even when the world is crying out to us to go a different way, we remember that we are here to serve our King, to live according to the values of his kingdom in this world. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I think of how in the midst of the persecution of that first century, and maybe the challenges of our own lives, we want to say, to prove that we're right, that other people are wrong, that Jesus is Lord, even when it doesn't appear to be. And the word that comes here is that when it's all said and done, Jesus will come in those great clouds of glory, and all the eyes of the earth, even those that pierced him, even those that persecuted those on our earth, they will look up and understand the truth, the reality of who Jesus is. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. The Alpha and the Omega. In the Hebrew, the first and last words are Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end. But when the Hebrews spoke of those two words, it meant all the letters in between, not just the beginning and the end, but the whole of everything from beginning to end. And so it is with our lives, in the midst of the things that are going on in our world, that this Almighty God is God over all things, from the beginning to the end and everything in between. We can trust him. This past summer, one of my most memorable experiences was up on the North Shore with my two boys, Mark and Jonathan. And we climbed up a rock face onto this overlook. And I've got to say, it had to be the most challenging climb my son Jonathan has ever made in his life. I was nervous for him. But he was game. He wanted to do it. And so we made our way up very carefully, the three of us working together to get up to the top safely. And we looked out over Lake Superior, and it was beautiful. And then it was time to come down, which was actually more harrowing for me. Here I was, the dad responsible for the safety of my sons, and I knew that my wife would be asking questions about this when we got back. So very carefully, we made our way down the cliff. And I had Jonathan at times within my arms as we were just working our handholds down the cliff. And we made it safely. And as we were going across the rocks from there back toward the car, I asked Jonathan, I said, "Were you scared?" He said, "No, Dad, not really. You were with me. I knew I was going to be okay." I'm like, "Oh, if he only knew." I'm a human dad. I'm going to do the best I know how to for the sake of my sons. And yeah, thank God, we made it safely. But here's the good news. That this God we worship today, this Christ the King, really does have us in his arms. He's got us. He's got you. He's got this whole world in his hands. We know this. This is the truth that we proclaim. So whatever those anxieties might be, those fears, know this, that he's got this whole world in his hands. He's got you. He's got me. We can trust him. So I would invite you right now to bow in a time of prayer. And as Peter says, in 1 Peter, he actually begins it by saying, can you guess? Grace to you and peace. He says, in abundance. And in chapter 5, he says, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. So let us do that now, giving thanks that he's got us in his hands. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, there is so much for us to be anxious about in this world. We confess our anxieties to you now. Help us to cast our anxieties upon you, to know that you do indeed care, and that you, the God who cares, are able, that your grace is sufficient. So help us this day as we worship you to rest in your peace. You've got the whole world in your hands. Amen.